Hi, this is Kevin Harlan, the voice of Monday Night Football and the NBA on TNT. Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. No politics, no nonsense, just sports.
36-yard line of Philly, shotgun snap to Hurts, dropping back, only one person rushing. Hurts looking, standing still, winding up, long pass. It lands at the 20, no one is there, zeros on the clock, it's over! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57 on a game-winning field goal, trailing at 10. At the halftime stop, 24-14, they go on to win 38-35. What a game.
And welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. Alongside Marco Kalovich, I'm Ryan Leong. We might have been on a little hiatus here, but we'll get back on the horse and talk about, of course, all things related to the Bay Area, starting with, of course, the Super Bowl, which was a good game. I wouldn't say great because of the way it ended, but Marco, was an entertaining contest, I would say, between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a very entertaining game. I didn't like the ending, of course. You could say it was a penalty, but in that moment, in that situation, it's almost like it would have just been better if they didn't call that holding penalty that basically set up Kansas City to have a chip shot field goal, which I think would have been a lot better had it been a longer field goal, just in case, you know, Bucker doesn't make it. Hey, you know, maybe now we go to overtime and decide it there. So, but overall, I thought it was a very entertaining game. I didn't think it was going to be as high scoring as it was, but, in the end, the Chiefs pulled out and they won their second Super Bowl now. So the Eagles had a good season. They had a good run, you know, to make it all the way there and be within 3 points of winning it all. You know, you got to say they had a good season.
Yeah, I agree. I think the big thing is I wish the National Football League would adopt a little bit more of a hockey strategy. And that usually is, as you know, we watch hockey covering the Sharks. Normally, unless it's really, really egregious, referees swallow their whistles in the third period. And I think in this instance, that was really bad to decide it on a penalty like that, because I think for sure what would have happened is it was like, what, I think the play would happen on 3rd and 8. So probably wouldn't have gotten enough for a first down, would have forced a field goal, would have given the Eagles enough time to go back to probably go to the other end of the field, kick another field goal and go to overtime. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. And that's what should have happened. I mean, again, yeah, of course, it's textbook that there was a penalty. But to me, hockey and football are so much alike. I mean, hockey, you can get penalties called, you know, any which way. And it usually happens, right? And football is the same way. I think, in my opinion, every single play in football is holding. Am I wrong, or is that?
No, it's true. And someone who's played football, that pretty much happens on practically every play.
On every play, right? Somebody's grabbing somebody's arm, grabbing somebody's, grabbing somebody's jersey, grabbing, you know, pretty much anything mixed up. Maybe, of course, the only thing that's really obvious is face masking, but any other part of the body you're grabbing is pretty legit. And I think it's going to happen all the time just because football is that kind of a sport. We're not playing flag football here. This is not the Pro Bowl.
Right.
I just thought it's a really crappy way to end the game, and I'm really glad I didn't watch the whole Super Bowl, because it's just a big letdown to have that good of a game with all the scenario kind of coming up, just a huge crescendo, and then just kind of lands with a thud because of how it ended. And you knew that as soon as that penalty was called, they're gonna get the first down instead of scoring a touchdown, which I guess maybe in years past you might have done. They were smart enough to run down the clock and basically give the Eagles no chance at all to win the game, and that's how it ended. So
Pretty much that's exactly how it ended.
Yeah.
It was just unfortunate that we should have had a better ending.
Yep. Well, anyway, well, that's the Super Bowl, and hopefully we'll have a good game next year. And I won't go too much into the Rihanna halftime show. I mean, obviously she's expecting a kid now, and it looked like it on the halftime show, and it was confirmed later by her publicist and other whatever tabloid agencies whatnot. But I still think personally one of the best halftime shows that was out there was Prince. I mean, he sang a great halftime show in the rain with the purple lighting. Couldn't do much better than that. And I didn't know this, but apparently that week leading up to it, of course, you have a press conference. And instead of having a press conference, he performed for 12 minutes at his press conference. It's on YouTube. That's pretty entertaining stuff.
Well, actually, and I remember watching that, his performance, because, he was supposed to do a press conference where they were going to ask him questions. And instead, because I remember NFL Network at the time, they were broadcasting it. And all of a sudden, you just see him playing. And it was awesome. I was like, this is so cool. He's just playing music. And because that's how Prince was. And
yep.
You know, I was lucky enough to see him in concert perform an amazing set that he played at the Shark Tank. This was, I think, in 2000, I want to say 13. I forget the exact year, but it was a great show before he passed away. And yeah, man, he was just one of a kind. And, you know, you're right. That was the best halftime show I think I've ever seen, too.
I do regret that I never got a chance to see him. The one time I could have, I think it was last concert in the Bay Area, his ticket prices were just so high. And it was so exorbitant. I was like, ah, I can't see myself paying for that. But yeah, I mean, he's right up there with a guy like Michael Jackson. May they both rest in peace. I mean, these guys are great performers. And exactly. I think when you're as legendary as those two guys were, it just, you know, I'm not saying advocating, you know, living a short life, but those guys, I tell you that they really, when they burned their flame, man, they really burned it all the way. You know, there's no like anything half-assed with those guys. So
that's for sure. That was for sure.
Minshew goes to a knee on that snap, and the clock will tick down from 30 seconds as the coaches will meet at midfield. The teams will empty the sidelines and meet at midfield, and the crowd in incredible elation right now with this win, as the Eagles has once again made the trip. We're down to 5 seconds, and the Eagles have been the NFC's best team all season long. Zeros on the clock, and they will carry that momentum with big wins in the divisional round against the Giants, and here in the championship round against San Francisco, all the way to Arizona and Super Bowl 57. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl again. A convincing 31-7 win over San Francisco. And Nick Sirianni, in his second season, has taken this team to the final game of the season.
Let's rejoin Bay Area Sports Wrap with your hosts, Marco and Ryan.
Coming back on Bay Area Sports Wrap, we're going to dissect the 49ers playoff loss to the Eagles, which led to the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. And Marco, I tell you, that was, you know, you couldn't have asked more for the 49ers. I mean, they did the best they could. But again, as I asked George Kittle after ending the regular season on a 10-game win streak, I just thought it was near impossible for them to win four more in a row. And I was right. I just didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, again, you know, when you have such a long win streak like that, and then all of a sudden the playoffs where anything can happen. And in this case, in the Niners instance, you know, Brock Purdy gets hurt, you know, in that first drive. And that pretty much ended the game really right there, right then and there for the Niners, because they became one dimensional. And the Eagles defense was able to tee off knowing that they didn't have someone who could throw the ball. I know Josh Johnson came in, but then, you know, he gets hurt in the first series and to begin the third quarter. And right then and there, that pretty much cemented the Eagles, you know, going to win it and going to the Super Bowl in Arizona. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, that's the what could have happened, what if, right? The what if had Purdy not gotten hurt, you know, wouldn't the Niners been able to expose, you know, the Eagles defense like the way Kansas City did in the Super Bowl? I think they would have, you know, with all the weapons that they have. I think, you know, if you have a healthy quarterback in that situation, I think they probably pull it off in Philadelphia. But, you know, again, injuries happen and it's part of the game. And it's just an unfortunate way that the Niners, for the Niners season to end that way. You know, I think if teams were healthy, you know, Purdy has to get hurt. And then if the Eagles happen to win, then that, to me, they truly would have earned their path to the Super Bowl. But in a way, I don't think they did because of that situation. And unfortunately, the Niners, though, it's funny, they're the first team to go that far and to use four different quarterbacks. And it's insane to think of how the season started off with Trey Lance and it pretty much ended with Josh Johnson. So I know Purdy came in there late, but again, all he could do was hand the ball off. So really it ended with Josh Johnson. And it's just going to be a very, very interesting offseason to see what they do with the quarterback situation now, because, you know, with the surgery, you know, who knows if Purdy's going to be ready for training camp. They say he will, but you know how these injuries are. You know, there's times where there could be setbacks and what have you. So and I remember it's funny because when that injury happened, and then when I found out, you know, what it was, the tearing of the ligament, you know, I thought back to our podcast with our friend Ruth Kakias when you know, we were asking, like, you know, who's going to be the 49ers quarterback next season? And I said, you know, it was going to be Trey Lance because of the what they gave up for him. And you, both you guys disagreed with me going, like, how can that happen with the way Brock Purdy's playing? Well, now we're in a situation where Brock Purdy might not be playing. So I think this goes back to being Trey Lance's team again. And then, again, who do they bring in? They bring in, decide to bring in a veteran quarterback. We don't know. Obviously, one of those veteran quarterbacks is now officially off the market, quote unquote. That's Tom Brady with his second retirement.
Right.
So, you know, again, I don't think he's gonna be totally and completely retired. I think he's gonna get that itch around late spring, and he's gonna probably maybe looking to come home, and maybe we'll see if John Lynch would be interested in that. But who knows? That gets a long time away from now, and. But yeah, it's that quarterback carousel. I think it's going to happen again in 2023. We'll see what happens.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't play this audio from this scene in Rocky III, which kind of typifies what happened after Brock Purdy got hurt.
Boy, turn the fights off. Go on, go on. No, the fight's not up. What are you out of your mind or something? The fight's on. You're crazy.
Man, we can't. Not tonight. I ain't fighting.
Yes, tonight we're going to fight. Just let me get my breath. Can I get my breath? Is that against the rules or something?
Mick, will you please get a doctor, boy? Go on.
He's on his way.
Mick, I can't go out there and fight like this. I can't go out there like this.
Now, get out of there. Get going with you. Take him. Take him good. Get it over with. Why don't you?
AJ, what am I supposed to do?
What the hell do you mean? What are you supposed to do? After all these years together, you don't know what to do. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now get out there and do it. Do it. Do it. You're the best.
That being said, I still think if Brock Purdy didn't get hurt, I think the Niners still would have lost. I think Philadelphia's pass rush was just so good. I mean, they've got an excellent pass rush. And the interesting thing, getting back down to your quarterback thing, some guy named Joe Montana thinks the Niners should hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo, which actually doesn't sound so far-fetched now either. I mean, and he may be back because, you know, Trey Lance admitted himself that he may not be ready for next season because he doesn't have enough experience under his belt. So, and he fully admitted that he thinks that this team is Brock Purdy's to lose because Purdy proved himself out there.
It wasn't that situation, and I wouldn't want it to be that way. Brock played way too well, and Brock played at such a high level and handled himself the right way. I wouldn't want it to be a situation where I'm just handed something. And I feel horrible, obviously, for Brock for his injury. But for me, I mean, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. Whether it's his, he's going to be better for it. Mine, I'm going to be better for it. And I'm excited to just get on the field and compete. That's all I want an opportunity to do. Brock doesn't just come in and play that well, and I just get handed something out of the blue, and I don't expect that or want that. But I truly believe, yeah, I just want an opportunity to compete. That's all I wanted going into this offseason.
And you could say that this is Brock Purdy's job to lose, but the way he performed those last seven games in the regular season and then in the pro season, how he played. So, again, like, what is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch going to want to do? You know, are they going to basically wait for Purdy to clear the health protocols and hopefully have him ready by training camp, which, you know, if all goes according, I guess, to their plan, but they've said lately that, you know, he'll be ready, then okay, fine. Then there's nothing to talk about anymore, right? Which we'll just wait for training camp. He'll be ready to go. He should be healthy, blah, 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 blah. But if that's not the case, then what do they do? You know, like I said, this team still has a lot of questions at that position that needs to be answered. And we'll find out what they do. You know, if something happens to the draft, maybe they trade for a veteran quarterback and give up a couple picks. Who knows? There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of options that they have going forward. And we'll find a lot about that next month when the regular season or when the new season starts in March. We'll see what kind of free agency brings to the 49ers and what they want to do with that. So a lot of things still ahead to that we're going to be able to talk about for sure in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. And I know that it's going to make for a good storyline. So wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
And lastly, let's switch gears here and switch sports. We'll talk a little bit about the Golden State Warriors. They're at the All-Star break now. I believe what record of 29-29, right at the 500 mark.
Yes.
I'm not totally surprised they're at this point. I think they're actually, I think in some ways they're actually lucky to be at 500. You could look at a team like the Lakers and the great one, the King, LeBron James. I use that with air quotes. Okay, so what? He's the all-time leading scorer. And how many games under 500 are the Lakers? Like four games under 500? Yeah. That's an embarrassment. I mean, as much as people want to complain about the Warriors, at least the Warriors are at 500. I mean, come on, with an injured Steph Curry and, you know, that now they've got we'll talk about here, an injured Gary Payton II after acquiring him in a trade, indirectly trading away Wiseman to get GP2 back on the roster. But, yeah, Marco, what do you think about all this?
Well, here's the beauty about the Warriors situation and being 29-29 at the All-Star break is that they're in a Western Conference that's not strong at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at, you know, what, 4th through 10th is separated by, I think, what, 4 games total. So, I mean, they're in a position right now where there's no need to panic. You know, there's no need to like trade and get rid of some assets. The buyout market's going to happen soon. To where, you know, the guys who just got traded at the deadline are probably going to get bought out by the team they just got traded to because they're not going to want to play there. And that gives them an option there to keep still under the luxury tax. So that's really the best thing that happened to the Warriors was the rest of the Western Conference just not being very good. Now, you know, you got the Nuggets, they're at the top, but, you know, they've lost a couple of games where they look bad in. And I don't see them being, you know, a runaway force in the West. They're just not, you know. And you look at the other teams that are bunched by the Warriors, again, you know, a couple games separate them. So they can, it's like you put together a 2-3-game win streak, and all of a sudden you go from like 9th to 5th or fourth for that matter. So,
right.
And then I think there's what, about 29, 30 games left to go here in the regular season. So there's plenty of time for them to make a run, and they're going to get Steph Curry back within a couple of weeks. And I think this is a blessing in disguise. Both of his injuries have been a blessing in disguise. First, the shoulder and now the knee, and that he's not going to be burnt out by the time the playoffs come in mid-April. He's going to be rested. He's going to be fresh for those playoffs. And yeah, you know, he carried them last year to that fourth world championship, that he got for the Warriors, and they're going to need him to do that this year. You know, Klay Thompson is really finally starting to come in his own now since his injuries, and he's becoming the Klay Thompson we know and love, you know, all ever since his rookie year. You know, Draymond Green is still being Draymond Green, and, you know, Andrew Wiggins, you know, I know he's suffered through some ailments too, but, you know, when those guys, those core four are together and you get, you know, throwing Kevon Looney in that starting lineup, you know, I don't see any reason for them to panic right now at all. And yeah, you know, it's unfortunate with the James Wiseman situation, you know, number two pick, and a lot of people are calling it a bust, but that's unfair because the guy just was never healthy. He could never stay healthy with his team. You know, he was raw, you know, and it was just one of those team or situations where he really wasn't able to develop right away. And I think Bob Myers just loved his athleticism so much that they figured he could just kind of throw them in there. But situation just didn't work out. And now they're getting Gary Payton II back. Now he's hurt. And there was a lot of questions and kind of controversy surrounding that trade, saying that, no, you know, probably never disclosed, you know, his injury status and what have you, saying he had a deal who's taking all these shots just so he could play hurt. And whether that's true or not, these are all allegations. So, you know, hopefully if Gary Payton II can come back, you know, if maybe a second round series for the Warriors, then that'll be great because he was also a key element in their championship run last year, playing great defense and scoring timely buckets, especially at the end. So hopefully, if, you know, this all works out, then Warriors should be all right going forward here.
Yeah, actually, we were both underestimating. So actually, there's only 5 games that separate the 10th seed from the 4th seed, and the Lakers are also 5 games under 500. Again, 5 games under 500 for a team that supposedly has all this talent. Goes to show you don't win games on paper, and you don't make so-called super teams and expect to win with them because it just doesn't work.
No, exactly.
And in my opinion, the super team, in my opinion, that I can remember, and you can as well, are there still the 95-96 Bulls. Yeah, granted, the Warriors team got one more win than them in the regular season. But as I've said before, and I will still go, you know, well, I don't want to say to my grave, but I guess I'll use that saying, when I argued with Steve Bicker, who used to work at KCBS, and he would always tell me that the Warriors team that won 73 games would be remembered. And I said, no, they won't if they don't win the title. Was I wrong?
You're not wrong. They didn't.
Yeah. There's no way, nobody talks about that team anymore, okay? They still talk about the 72-10 Bulls because they won it all. And that was a super team. That was a great team that was built with Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Luke Longley, Steve Kerr. I mean, that was a great team. Anyway, so but you don't need a superstar team. It's just not going to work for you. I guess the closest you probably had to that was probably that one time LeBron James got a title, or I guess what, two of his titles he got with the Heat, right? So, and even then, those guys underachieved. So what is that? That just goes to show you, you got to have a team. And a team is, I know it's so cliche, but it's so true. There's no I in team. And he's just not going to win that way. I can't believe a lot of these basketball executives still haven't figured that out.
Yeah.
So that being said, it's gonna be interesting to see how the Suns manage to do now with KD and Booker and isn't Chris Paul on that team too, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that exactly. And there's just to say that, you know, they're gonna be able to form a chemistry with each other, and you know, you're right. And the problem with the Lakers is they're old. You know, they're not they don't have any speed. They don't play defense. You know, LeBron is you know, pretty much in his twilight of his career. Yeah, he's still a great player, but he's not the player he was, say, 5-6 years ago, right? So, and that's why the Lakers are 5 games under .500, because he's the only one who's consistently can score. Anthony Davis is not happy there. You can see in his face. I mean, they showed a great close-up of him when LeBron broke the record, Kareem's record, and he was not smiling.
No reaction.
He was pissed off, Matthew.
Well, yeah. He basically sat there. He basically went to sit down, and he just sat there with no reaction whatsoever.
Right.
The one reason I will say this: the one game that the Warriors and Lakers played most recently, where LeBron decided to sit out because of his ankle injury, that didn't hurt. Didn't stop him from going to the Super Bowl the next day. Right. And the Warriors lost that game because the Lakers did have one thing: they had size that night. They out-rebounded the Warriors by, I think, like 10 boards.
Right.
And the Warriors just basically did – one of their weaknesses, as you know, Marco, is the Warriors sometimes just settle for a lot of, like, outside jumpers and shots, and they can't get any kind of interior penetration sometimes. And if they're outsized by another team, they're going to get out-rebounded, they won't get any offensive boards, and they'll lose the game. That's one of the few ways in which they can lose, but that's how they can lose.
Yeah, no, you're right. And when, you know, you live and die by the three – When you're having an off night from beyond the arc and you're not able to get those rebounds, then yeah, it's going to be easy for their team to transition, get inside scoring. And, you know, it's also funny too, because like I've been noticing, maybe it's just me, but whenever the teams play the Warriors, they always seems like they play their best game against them. When the next game they play against, say, the Clippers or Memphis, and then all of a sudden they get blown out by now, right? But against the Warriors, for some reason, you know, I think they go into that mindset like, look, these are the champs. Yep. We got to play our best game in order to like, you know, prove that, I guess, we should be up there too, right? And it just seems like I've been noticing that a lot this year.
Or I was going to say, I think it's more to do with the fact that not only they have to do that, it's more like, oh, you're the world champs? Well, show us you're the world champs. Prove it to us. That's what I think is more the mentality. You know, prove that you're the world champs. And a lot of times they just can't. Like, again, not right now when they've got guys that are kind of banged up and they're sort of a team in transition. So, again, got some time to figure it out. It's, you know, it's little bit past the middle of February. So, you know, about a month and a half to go in the regular season. And then, of course, you get the playoffs. So, you know, the Warriors have time to figure it out and we'll see what happens.
Right. One thing I wanted to mention, just quickly going back to football, is that, you know, the Raiders finally cut Derek Carr because they didn't want to pay him his guaranteed salary. And now, you know, where he ends up, that's another big question that's going to be answered in this offseason coming up. And we'll see what happens with that Raiders quarterback situation, whether they go and maybe try to trade for an Aaron Rodgers or sign a veteran guy. Who knows what they're going to do? And that's also going to be, you know, another key topic for later on in the future and give us some more things to talk about down the road here, Ryan.
Yeah, it's just too bad that the Raiders can't find a happy medium. I don't know if it's a good idea to spend top dollar to get an Aaron Rodgers who's past the prime of his career. I'm kind of thinking back to the days when I'm trying to remember who the other Raider quarterbacks were. But, you know, you remember like a situation about a decade ago when they had Bruce Gradkowski?
Yeah.
I mean, he was okay for a while. I mean, I don't know. I think in some ways the Raiders would be better served trying to find a middle ground replacement.
Yeah, no, it's true. And heck, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, would be that kind of guy for the Raiders. When you think about it.
A little more high profile than Bruce Gradkowski. But yeah, I just don't think they should sign Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is just too old. I mean, yeah, you could reunite him with Devontae Adams, but I'm sure even Adams would agree that they'd be better off going younger. I just think Aaron Rodgers is not quite Tom Brady age, but he's pretty close.
Yeah, he's up there for sure. And, you know, who knows what his mindset is too, you know, going into, you know, South America and doing ayahuasca and all this stuff that he's been doing over the last few years. It's, you know, it's, he's been out there, you know, literally he's been out there. So.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Oh yeah. And of course, I don't know. We're not going to get into here, but I know he's had some, he's been a little bit estranged from his own family, I believe. Right. Over the years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's his family can't stand him and it's mutual. He hates them too.
Yep. Again, stay tuned. The drama of sports. That's what we love to talk about it here on Bay Area Sports Wrap. Well, that'll do it for this episode. And thanks again to Marco Kalovich for joining me, Ryan Leong here. And we'll see you next time.